Okay, here we are. We have a few leftover questions from earlier in the month, and then we have some new questions submitted, but not everybody that submitted questions is on the call yet. So I'm just going to see how we do here and know that we're going to get to everything, whether you're on the call or not. And if you submitted a question and you're not in the hot seat, then just know I'm going to select somebody else. And also, there was a request that more people be in the hot seat at once so that you don't sit there just biding your time until I ask for questions at the end of a voice dialogue facilitation. I want to get more people involved, especially if you feel inspired by what we're exploring. Before we get started, just to see if we can buy some more time before more people get on the call, does anybody have anything they want to say, request, or mention now at the beginning? Okay. Let's get to work then. I'm going to start with something that Rick submitted. And I believe that it's okay for me to read this. Rick's not on the call yet. Forgive me if it's not okay, but he did submit it as a response to Monday night calls. But Rick wrote, "I know I need to own my shit, but I haven't been able to. Now it's just redundant and boring that I haven't been able to do it." Now, as I'm reading this, just notice if this also relates to you. Because I'm in the business of helping people own their shit, first and foremost. And I do a lot of things, but that's where I start. As he continues, "How do I tip the scales and finally start owning dot 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 question mark? Clearly, I need to make the right decision. I know all the reasons why I haven't, but again, I haven't been able to drop the hammer and just freaking do it. Always avoiding and always hiding and always mad at myself for doing all that." So first of all, notice if those on the call, if you feel like this is you, like you know you should be owning your shit, you're not owning your shit, and you're mad at yourself for not doing that. The first thing that I have to say about this is in Rick writing me this email, he is owning his shit. Can you see it? Right? Like, he's owning his shit being that he's not willing to do the work, that he's hiding and mad at himself and avoiding. And that's really ultimately what this practice is about. That's what owning your shit looks like. Like, oh, I did it again, like the Britney Spears song. The other thing, and I wrote him back personally, I know with Rick, he has a really hard time getting out of his head and into his body and then feel the emotions. Can everybody hear me? Is everybody still here? It looks
Yes,
like it.
I hear you fine,
Okay,
Kristen.
great. Sorry about that. This is the same problem as before. My computer just kind of timed out and just went blank. Where was I? So to continue, first of all, Rick, you are owning your shit, and just by being hard on yourself, anybody that is hard on yourself for this happening, where you just know what you need to do, you're not doing the four steps, or you're not feeling your fear, you're ignoring it, you're going back into old habitual patterns. No, just admitting it, like that's half the problem. Just to see it is the most important part. Now, I did continue with Rick because a lot of people have a hard time getting out of their heads and into their bodies. I continued with Rick. There's a course that I have called the ABCs of Feeling Emotion. And I don't know if Rick is autonomous in this issue, but he's so in his head and he's so conditioned to being in his head. And I'm speaking about him in the third person because he's not on the call. And hopefully it's okay. Rick, I'm also talking to you because you're going to listen to the recording later. But when you do this, this is the main way that I see people resisting their negative emotions is being in their head all the time. Because if they're in the head all the time, then they don't have to feel. And so there's definitely a payoff for being in your head all the time. It's hard to give up that payoff. So this course that I created called the ABCs of Feeling Emotion, if anybody wants to take it, it's a 1-week course. Write me after this 1-hour support call and let me know, and I'll tell you how to get it for a deep, deep discount rather than paying full price. It's a one-week program that basically starts with you having a practice where you just feel the grass on your feet or an ice cube on your skin and just noticing the sensations that you have in your body externally and then switching to the sensations that you have internally in your body. And know that fear shows up in very specific places in your body. Anger shows up very specific places. All the emotions show up, joy as well, in specific places in your body. And if you take this course, then you'll be more aware of what those emotions are. So I think when Rick was saying, I need to own my shit, he needs to own his fear. He needs to own his emotions, is what he's saying. So I actually, when I created this course and I started studying the neuroscience and the science of where you feel the emotions in your body, I had some revelations myself, just even in creating this course. Like, a part of my body that was always under distress, like discomfort, I thought was tied to fear. Turns out it was actually tied to anger. So that insight was really important for me, as you can imagine. So the last thing I'll say about this, and it actually ties very neatly into the domino effect of what we're going to explore this in this call tonight. It starts with having a practice, but making it worthwhile. You know, what is going to make somebody actually own their shit, right? It's so much easier to not own your shit, so it seems. But then there's consequences for that. And then all of a sudden, after a while, it's not easier to not own your shit. It's easier to own your shit. So my story is this. A man goes into a latrine, and it's one of those nasty ones in India. It's just a hole in the ground, and 2 foot rests on either side. And he looks down in this steaming pile underneath, you know, the ground he's on in the hole, and there's rats and there's maggots and it's disgusting and it smells, and he sees on the top of the pile a gold coin, and it's within reach. I mean, he has to put his arm into the hole up to his shoulder to get it, but it's within reach. And so there's the gold, but he has to stick his hand in there, and it's disgusting. So he starts thinking about what to do, and it doesn't seem worth it. Doesn't seem worth it. And then he has an idea, and he takes out another gold coin that he has in his pocket, and he drops it in on top of that other gold coin. Now it felt worth it. So it seems artificial. It's a funny story. But if you are having a hard time owning your shit, you've got to figure out a way to make it worthwhile. Like, do whatever you need to do to convince yourself, to trick yourself even, into making this worthwhile. Have a story that you have about if you don't own your shit, you're going to wind up dead within 5 years, you know, out of anxiety and stress. If you don't own your shit, then you're never going to have the relationship of your dreams. You're never going to go to the next level of your development. You can picture yourself on your deathbed having huge regrets, whatever you need to do to create a story or a belief system around why you need to do this. That's the second gold coin that you drop in the latrine that makes it worth it. So that's the second part. So the first part is you're already owning your shit if you own it, that you're not owning your shit. Like, that's huge. Second part, the ABCs to feeling emotions. Third part, find a story or a belief that makes it more worthwhile. Now, there are some voices that we could do, and if anyone feels like you really want to explore these voices and be in the hot seat because Rick's not here on his behalf or on your behalf, there's the voice of avoiding, the voice of hiding, and the voice of mad at myself. If anyone wants to be facilitated in any of those three voices, just tell me which one: avoiding, hiding, mad at myself. Speak up now.
Mad at myself. This is Chiquetta.
Okay. Is anyone else on the call that would like to also be facilitated? Ask yourself if you have any heat around this voice. Okay, Chiquetta. Allow me, please, to speak to the voice of the one who's mad at herself. Who am I speaking to?
I'm mad at myself.
Okay. And notice that there's two components to this voice. There's a mad, right? But so you're the voice of mad, but you're very directed at Jaquetta. You're mad at her. You know, I'm mad at myself. You know, I'm mad at the self. I'm mad at Jaquetta. What are you mad about? What has she done?
She is inattentive to things that she focuses on.
So this is similar to Rick, right?
Yeah, she's totally clear at what needs to be done.
Okay. She knows what to do. She knows how to do it. She's been working with me for years, and she's not doing it.
Correct.
What is she doing instead?
Working
a lot. What else? Is that a distraction, or is it she just feels like it's necessary?
It functions as a distraction. There's some necessity in there. It's like this, there's a sweet spot somewhere she can't find. Or maybe
on
there's
the,
not.
On the drift list, on the list of things that we do rather than feel our emotions, one of them is working really hard or being really busy. Or actually, those are two of them. And is that what's happening here?
Hardware failure. I'm back.
Okay. Did you hear the question?
I did not. Please.
Repeat. I was referring to the flight list. And two of the things that are on the flight list are being really busy and working really hard. Is this what's happening here? Is she working so hard to not have to deal with her shit?
It's not busy. There is some distraction in it. There's also some legitimacy in it. But some balance is missing.
I think that she thinks if she has more money, then her problems will go away.
Some of the problems.
Some of the problems.
Some of the loudest.
Right. And so let's call those problems ABC. But by working so hard, she doesn't deal with her problems. She doesn't have time to have a practice or doesn't make time to have a practice. It's not worth her sticking her hand in the latrine. She doesn't have time, right? She's too tired. That causes a host of other problems. Let's call them XYZ. So in order to solve problems ABC, she then exacerbates problems XYZ. But if she were to take the time to solve problems XYZ, she then wouldn't be able to address ABC. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you follow? Hopefully I made that simple. So you're mad at Jaquetta for what in this analogy? For solving ABC instead of XYZ?
If we're not taking the time to sit down and sort out which one is weighted where.
She's not taking the time.
Jaquetta won't take the time to sit down and sort out, like, the ledger of what's gained and what's lost in her kind of one-sided effort. And it's a one-sided effort. It's
Speaking
incredibly uncomfortable for her.
Right. Speaking personally, and maybe everybody can relate, it's like we have to prioritize. We only have so much time and effort. And it's like we don't want to just be solving problems all day long. We want to also, you know, have a nice meal from time to time or, you know, pet the cat, right? There's only so many hours in the day. And I do know that Kristen has a lot of problems to solve with work. She has a lot of ads to create and the website to finish and, you know, And just everybody that's on the call, just notice that the self prioritizes whatever they prioritize for a reason, you know, because they think that, okay, this needs to get done first and foremost, especially if raising children, like if car needs gas, like, the, you know, there's certain things that are really simple and there's certain things that are very complicated and big that need prioritizing. Mental, physical, emotional health doesn't very often make it to the top of the list unless the self is in crisis. So then, as the voice of the one who's mad at the self, it's like, well, you're kind of a jerk. It's like she's doing the best she can. Here you are mad at her. You know, she has a whole bunch of things that she needs to get done. Only so many hours in the day. Like, what merit do you offer her? Besides just beating her up and making her feel guilty or lame for not prioritizing her mental, emotional, spiritual, psychological health.
Prioritizing, but also a perspective that she just refuses.
And that's why you're mad at her. She just refuses to prioritize this?
No.
Is that the big beef?
No, she's really good at maximizing any resource. And the resource presents itself as the opportunity to work a lot, and the paychecks are good.
Okay.
But
my point is, what do you offer her? You're the voice of the one who's mad at Jaquetta. What do you offer her? What's your wisdom?
She has to stop.
Will she?
No.
So on you go. And for Rick, too, it's like you're mad at Rick for not being able to figure this out, for not owning his shit, for not being in his body, for being in his head. It's like you're mad at Rick for just being him. You know, for anyone else that's on the call, just notice that you, as the voice of the mad at the self, mad at myself, it's like this, you're like a punching bag, an internal punching bag. You know, and you can show up in the form of self-esteem issues, as just always feeling guilty or ashamed. Like you're kind of a lousy voice, like you really drag them down. It's like, but there's also the opposite of you, the one who's proud of herself. You know, we much prefer that one, but you, do you get more airtime?
Oh, yeah. She wakes up with me. We sleep together. We work together. We drive home together.
When the voice of the one who's proud of herself shows up, does she listen?
It's cameo appearances, guest appearances.
Okay. But when that voice shows up, does she listen to it?
It's escorted off.
Escorted off. Okay. By you?
Yeah, you beat me to it. By me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to be a balance, right?
It's supposed
to be. The Buddha calls it Yes, Buddha calls it the
Well,
middle way.
why would it be?
Okay. As the voice of mad at myself, right? Why do you say that? Why would it be? You sound a little bitter.
I'm mad at myself. Why would there be anything else?
Does she resist you?
Oh, yeah, she hates me.
Does she ignore you?
No, she indulges in me.
She indulges in you.
Mm-hmm.
How have you become an indulgence?
I spent a lot of time in me.
I find that people are stuck with a voice playing too big of a role in their lives, which it sounds like you do. And the voice of mad at myself has been ignited recently with Rick, ever since he started working with me. Great, right? I find that a person gets stuck with a voice being too big a player in their corporation, one of two reasons. Either they're in resistance to you and they fight you, and then whatever you resist persists, whatever you try to control winds up controlling you. Like, until and unless Rick, Chiquetta, anybody spends a little bit of time with you and just allows themselves the honesty of just being mad at themselves, and instead of ignoring or hiding from you or trying to replace you with, gosh darn it, people like me, like Stuart Smalley, like that kind of effort can cause you to persist, recirculate, come up from the basement, show up in exaggerated ways, all of that. So that's one possible problem that can occur with regard to you. The other
Yeah,
possible problem, go ahead.
I love to show up and tell you what you didn't do, what Chiquetta didn't do.
That's your job.
Well, if the self would just listen to me, I wouldn't have to be mad anymore. I wouldn't need to be yelling so much.
Right. If the self would just spend some quality time with me, then that first thing I just ex described would be extinct. It's like you show up, I'm mad at myself. I forgot to lock the car door, the car got stolen, right? Okay, great. Be mad at yourself. You should be mad at yourself. And then you learn the lesson, don't lock, make sure the car door is locked next time. Like, these kinds of things are your wisdom. Like, you help the self really hone in on what the problem is and then make steps to correct it, to change it. In a perfect world. But if the self ignores you, locks you in the basement, everybody's worked with me long enough to know what happens next. You persist and you become an exaggerated version of yourself. That's the first way that people become stuck with you. The second way that people become stuck with you is they become overly identified with you. Now, the second way that people become stuck with any kind of voice, the overly identified with you, usually starts with the repression of a voice. But then maybe the self winds up feeling like a victim to that voice, and being a victim can be very addicting, or appreciates the drama of the war that goes on within ourselves. And I know enough about Chiquetta to know that she likes engaging in internal dramas. That's very addicting. She indulges in me. She indulges in the drama. She indulges in the war. You become a identity. And you look for reasons to confirm what it is that you should be mad about, Jaquetta, and you can find them anywhere, so you can recirculate. It's like you too can just keep doing a dance your whole life. And until and unless that's challenged, you two are in bed together. So those of you on the call, just notice if you have any heat with this voice, if it's the first stuck place, or if it's the second stuck place that gets birthed out of the first stuck place. So, taking it back to Jaquetta, mad at myself, can you tell me? I mean, if I asked Jaquetta this question, I would get one answer. You're the voice of the one who's mad at Jaquetta. I want to ask you instead. What is your stuck place with regard to Jaquetta and you being such a huge part of her life?
She keeps saying and seeing the same mistakes. She sees the things she does as mistakes.
So she feeds you. She feeds you. You've gotten very fat. I don't mean literally. I mean like you, the voice of mad at myself. It's like she gives you meals constantly, all day long. And you've gotten very heavy in her. You've gotten very big. You've gotten maybe even full of yourself. What do you recommend as the voice of mad at myself? I mean, are you willing to back down?
I'm out of voice.
Okay. So this practice is not about perfectly being in voice. This is about noticing. So two questions. Why are you out of voice? And who did you become instead?
This is just hard to keep up with tonight.
It's Monday night, getting on a phone call, could have just as easily just sat in the background, and all of a sudden we're talking to a voice that is probably a biggie. So let's just bookmark this. Although, on my list of things to cover tonight, you were next in line. So, for something that you mentioned a couple weeks ago, are you up for more, or do you want to take a break?
Something different might work.
I'd like to say something.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the self is just stuck and doesn't want to do anything because he gets payoffs. He has enough already. Does he really want to satisfy all the things I'm complaining about?
He's dealing with ABC. To add on XYZ, it's like, it's a lot. And not dealing with XYZ, there's a payoff.
I think what I'm saying is ABC's in reality enough. Does he really need more?
Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, we could all just quit our jobs and just start a fear practice and prioritize our mental, spiritual, emotional health and well-being, read books, sing kumbaya, like, great. Like, sign me up. But we can't. And it, go ahead.
No, that's exactly right.
So not only is it, you know, a priority for ABC, especially I know with Kirk, it's a habitual pattern. With Jaquetta, it's a habitual pattern. With Rick, habitual pattern. But dealing with the XYZ stuff, there's a payoff that you get for not looking at those things, which is you don't have to deal with them, seemingly. But there's also a consequence. And like I said before, until and unless it becomes overwhelming and it's like you're going to die if you don't look at this, you know, there's been a whole bunch of medical issues associated with menopause that I, Kristen, haven't looked at. I haven't prioritized it. I mean, it's a matter of one phone call and one doctor's appointment. And it's been going on like this for years. And I won't do it because it's not a big enough problem that I need to do something about it. Until last week, all of a sudden, it became a big enough problem. And even still, it was like a week and a half before a phone call was made. You know, we do not prioritize our XYZs. We do not prioritize our emotional, spiritual health and well-being. We do not prioritize owning our shit, certainly. Like, that is on the lowest of the low, bottom of the wrong priorities. And we don't do it unless we're in crisis. So what do we do about it has been the question. And, you know, Jaquetta, you have this war going on with Mad at Myself. You have an identification with Mad at Myself. You have the drama that you are addicted to, which I know about because we've talked about this many times before. Rick has the addiction to just being in his head so that he doesn't have to deal with the feelings in his body. I already said, drop another gold coin in the latrine. You know, I gave the course that one would need to take in order to get into your body if that's what the issue is. What else can we do? Let's have that discussion. How do we prioritize this?
This is Jaquetta, just speaking as myself. Mad at Myself is a fabulous distraction. It's this great big balloon of kind of nothingness. Doesn't really crystallize the problem. It doesn't inspire. It's just a distraction.
Do you remember my analogy for lab rats looking for cheese? I'll tell it. So rats are actually smarter than humans. So humans, let's put humans in like a rat cage with channels and wheels and all sorts of things. Humans will go down a channel and get a big block of cheese. You know, rats will go down the same channel, get a big block of cheese. And I see this a lot with skiers, actually. Oh my gosh, skiing is so amazing, right? So they keep going skiing. They become addicted to skiing. They ski 120 days a year. They don't even have summer anymore. They go down to South America. They ski 200 days a year. Like, they keep getting big blocks of cheese, blocks of cheese. And Jaquetta, it may not seem like cheese to you, but it's sure better than boredom, right? Like, the drama of having a war with yourself is better than boredom and loneliness, you know? So one day that block of cheese turns to half a block of cheese. Then it turns to a quarter block of cheese. And then one day it turns to pellets. And then it turns to a half a pellet, then a quarter pellet. So at some point, rats will leave that pellet and go and look for cheese elsewhere. Humans won't. We'll keep going down that same track every single time. And next thing you know, we have people who are, I'm bringing this up because of ski season, they feel like the only thing they have in their life is skiing, and they're miserable, and they're stuck, and they still get a little bit of nourishment from the skiing, and so they keep going there because it's all they have anymore. And in fact, suicide in ski resort towns is rampant. The statistics are way higher in ski resort towns than you find in cities, for example. And it's, you know, they don't realize that this thing that they still keep chasing is actually holding them hostage, and they actually need to break free from it and go and find cheese elsewhere. They can't do it for whatever reason. So we get this, and Kirk and I were talking about this before, where he likes to complete things. You know, he keeps going down that channel, completion, completion, completion. You know, can you ever really complete mental, spiritual, emotional health and well-being? No, you know, it's just a constant struggle. It's a constant effort, you know, but he can go clean the shop and get a block of cheese, or in this case, maybe a half a pellet. And so he's going to go do that instead. You know, we can go to work and get some more money so that we can buy more things or more trips. You know, we keep going down those channels. We don't go to look elsewhere to find other blocks of cheese. But the rumor is those that have found great riches, great cheese elsewhere. You know, yoga classes, you know, people just find themselves in these. They calm the F down, you know. Art of fear practice, all these things really help us And we won't do them because we're so stuck going down the same channel. Any comments or questions?
Bob.
Bob, go.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I was just going to say that I'm just finding that, you know, I've had a tendency to think of there's certain things that I have to do, and I put the label on it that's owning my shit. But I'm actually finding that there's sort of a natural intelligence going on underneath that's driving me in a different direction, and it's because the other direction is more important. And the more, and I think the recognition for me is having is in trying to do those things that I think are owning my shit. When I look at the resistance I have, and how it just looks more and more impenetrable and impossible, and something as simple as cleaning out my garage became this overwhelming problem. But when I look closely at it, it was more that I had some work to do just internally with other issues like loneliness and depression. And I was thinking that I need to start here. I need to clean out this garage. I need to put things in order. And it wasn't until I found that there was no amount of sorting that was going to get me that order. It was feeling of helplessness, and it wasn't until I faced that, and I still don't know. I don't know if I'm getting a sense of order yet, but it doesn't matter anymore. It's more a sense of I'm working organically with what's there and just doing what I can with it.
Let's pause a moment and have a quick conversation about what you just outlined, because it's actually a really interesting phenomenon that I've been studying, that a lot of people that go to a therapist, when they figure stuff out, the first thing they do when they come home is they start cleaning the house or organizing a drawer. And it's because your world, like your garage, your shop, your house, your drawers, right, match your internal world. You know, and if you kind of sort out something in your internal world, you want to have that reflect in your living environment. And, you know, it's funny, a few years ago, I met a woman who wanted to hire me to help her mother-in-law who was a hoarder. And I said, well, I won't work with her unless she pays for some of the sessions on her own. And she said, oh, she has no money. We'd have to pay for her. And I said, well, ask her if she'll trade babysitting or even give $5 towards the sessions. And that'll be a sign whether or not you're wasting your money or not. The hoarder mother-in-law wouldn't. And so I didn't get hired. But next thing you know, I'm getting phone calls from, like, you know, hoarders.com. And there was like a hoarders conference in Salt Lake City. They wanted me to be the keynote speaker. Like somehow word got out that I was some sort of expert on hoarding, which I'm not, right? And you know, there's just nobody out there to help these people. And really what it comes down to, I'm realizing right now, is really quite simple. You know, your external, well, it seems obvious, but I don't think it's as obvious as we think it is. Your external world reflects your internal world. And if somebody doesn't want to clean up their house, they don't want to clean up their internal world, and vice versa. And so actually, you saying that I felt like I needed to clean my garage as a first step towards kind of sorting out my life. I get it. I actually think it's a great place to start. People have a hard time doing that. Kirk, do you have any, you wanted to say something before? I don't know if you wanted to reflect about this, but I mean, you're in the process of cleaning your shop right now.
I think it's creating the emotional space to take care of these things. Also, it's just maybe also a function of just life gave me some space where I could breathe and take care of these nagging things that I've been mad about, that I've been telling myself. But it wasn't something that he forced to happen. I think he's more a victim or a benefit of the circumstances. versus forcing the circumstances.
Who's talking?
The one who's mad at himself.
Okay. I couldn't track because I wasn't in voice. Can you say it again?
I think that the self has some emotional space right now, just as a function of life, meaning there's some space in life where he's not so busy. So I've been nagging him, like, clean the shop. Well, he didn't force that to happen by making space in his life. Just life backed off some, and so he was able to take care of these things I've been nagging him about.
And so when he's too busy, it's just easier to block you out. But when he has some space, so
but I'm just nagging in the background. I'm just nagging in the background all the time.
So, Jaquetta, until you make space in your life to listen to Mad at Myself, what Kirk's saying is, it's just going to keep nagging.
Yeah, I'm hearing this very clearly.
Right. Rick, I don't know if you're on the call yet, but are you listening? So and Bob, I don't know what your take is on what
Kirk said it right there, making that emotional space for it to happen rather than trying to just force it. I'm finding that place where I can do things without those damning voices in my head about, am I doing the right thing or should I be doing something else? It's just finding a space where this just, I'm doing this. It needs to get done. It actually, I don't know, maybe it feels good, maybe it doesn't, but I'm present for it. I'm ready for it.
The Japanese translation of the word hell in Zen practice is no space. You're living in hell when you have no space for these voices in your life, for example. The Japanese translation of the word heaven is spaciousness. And so really what we can do is cultivate some space within us to not only have a relationship with the fact that we're mad at ourselves, but maybe going back to the list, the flight list, like just buying some time. So back to Rick's question, like, are you making the time? Is this a priority? You know, he has kids, he has a job that's very demanding, likes to work out. Like, there's so many things that we can do. My friend Holly and I were talking about this the other day. We really only have time in our lives, space in our lives, to do 2.5 things great. Like, if you're married, you have kids, you have a career, you work out, you have hobbies, you know, you can pull off 2.5 of those quite well. You can't do 3. You definitely can't do 4. You have to prioritize. So if you're prioritizing work, and if you're prioritizing, like, Jaquetta, what are your priorities?
Recently, it's only been work.
And
I say I have other priorities, but functionally, in operationally, it's only been work.
Right. And so it's work and work. Maybe that you're burning 2, right? Because you're working like a double shift. Like you're working 80-hour work weeks, right?
60 and 70.
So that's 1.75. What are your other priorities?
They've faded so far, I'm not sure what they are.
Okay. Cat. Kirk? Bob? Or anyone else
you're
that
asking,
to speak?
You're asking
what
are your priorities?
No, what are your priorities? What are your 2.5 priorities?
My 2.5 priorities, number one is just, I don't know how to put it into words, really, but, well, okay, addressing that sense of loneliness. That's the huge one. The second one is addressing that sense of feeling like I compromise or feeling that I'm not fully engaged. I want to just open up to life. And half priorities, I don't know, just to remind myself, I mean, I have priorities, just remind myself to set the load down every now and then and recover a little bit before picking it back up again.
I'm noticing that my marriage only gets half of our priority, and I think it should be a full priority. Kirk?
Yeah, I have two different works that take full priority, and then like 15 other things that take up half.
Yeah. So awareness is powerful. You know, how does this awareness serve us? Does anybody have this on the call that hasn't been talking have anything they want to add? So, lab rats looking for cheese. Are we going to go look for cheese elsewhere? Or are we satisfied with the meal that we're getting right now? You know, that's the koan, that's the question, the riddle. You know, I want to bring in a question from Nancy, who requested not to be in the hot seat tonight, but I'm going to bring up a question that you brought up before, knowing that you don't need to speak. But I want to just incorporate it. And I also want to incorporate the third part to David's question that he brought up, you know, where he, when he gets stressed out, he runs to porn, because I promised that I would do that. But we explored what we're running away from last week. He's running away from intimacy. But whenever we want to run away from something, very often we're running towards something instead. So when David gets stressed out, he runs towards porn. Like running towards something, like whatever it is that we're running towards takes up a lot of our time and becomes our priority. So you want to choose carefully what you're running towards. It's important to know what you're running away from, because it's often your shit, you know, the stuff that you won't deal with. In David's case, running away from intimacy. So just notice right now on the call what you run away from. Sometimes it's something that it's good to run away from, like a bad relationship or a mortgage that is crushing your soul. Like, that's great. But if you're running away from things like intimacy, if you're running away from personal work, if you're running away from dealing with your shit, that obviously needs some awareness. Then also notice what you're running towards. Are you running towards pornography? Are you running towards more free time? Are you running towards mental, emotional, spiritual health? That awareness is very important. And then bringing in Nancy's question, how do I know if my decisions are the right ones? How do I know if my decisions are the right ones? And she gave the example of, i.e., where should we live? You know, running away from where I currently am living, running towards someplace else, but I don't even know where to run, you know? Running away from working 70-hour work weeks and running towards what? What do you run towards? Like, where do you even start? Like, what kind of personal work should you do? There's so many choices. There's the four-step art of fear method. There's yoga. There's meditation. There's therapy. There's blah, 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 right? So I want to just bring in a tool that I use to make decisions of what to run towards. And answering this question for Nancy, where should we live? What you guys can do right now is, let's see, how shall we do this? Maybe I'll do this with a voice dialogue instead, because Nancy doesn't want to be in the hot seat. Let's have you all do this. Allow me, please, to speak to the voice of running away from. Who am I speaking to?
Running away from.
I'm running away from.
What are you running away from? Whoever wants to answer. and I'll answer too. I'm running away from working so much. I'm running away from somebody else answer. What are you running away from? Intimacy? Like David? I'm running away from having to do real personal work. Like, I spend so much of my life just being of service to other people and helping them with their practice. And I've made myself so busy doing that that Kristen doesn't have time to work on herself anymore. Try that one on. ML, if you're listening, you might be able to relate to that. A lot of people who get in the business of helping others, that's what they're doing. I'm no exception. Anyone else running away from?
The self has a story that he's running away from not being successful. So if he does all these other things of like yoga, meditation, reading, meditating, then he's just going to be some broke-ass yoga mountain biker.
This is a hard voice because it could be something nuanced like a story.
It doesn't feel like we're running away from it.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was really struggling, and then it just struck me that I'm running away from really dropping into a story and owning the story.
The thing that's difficult about this voice is because there's two parts to it. It's like we're running away from something, but we're running towards something else instead. And just autonomous running away from can be really confusing. But if we really, really just sit with it and sit with it and sit with it, we start to see more and more things. I've been running away from dealing with my issues with my dad my whole life.
Yeah, I'm running away from being a compassionate and soft person.
And then there's always the question, why? We don't want to deal with it. Or we think that maybe the opposite is more, I don't know, compassionate and soft, like more manly maybe. I don't know. But let's just leave this question or this voice in its own container for now. Voice of running away from. Who else? Keep it coming.
I'm running away from love.
Yeah. Allow me, please, to speak to the voice of running towards. Who am I speaking to?
Running towards.
Running towards.
I'll sit with this one for a little bit. Running away from love in favor of. running away from being compassionate and soft. Running away from owning your shit. Toward what?
Material things, goals, ideals.
These are difficult voices, but if you really sit with them, some pretty interesting things get revealed. Running toward. These are our choices. They're often unconscious, habitual, you know, unconscious choices, and they're just habitual patterns. Anyone else? So just going back over these questions. Hold on. I have an incoming call and I'm trying to get rid of it. Just going back over these questions, let's see if we can bring it all home. Rick, I know I need to own my shit, but I haven't been able to. I'm always avoiding and always hiding and always mad at myself for doing that. That's running from and running towards madness at yourself, or that's the inadvertent side effect of it. Jaquetta, I had some voices, have to conform, can't be myself. Are you running away from being yourself and running towards conformity? Am I saying that right?
I certainly don't want to run towards conformity. Feel pressure.
The word have to. Sorry, let me just say something. Yeah. Pressure to conform. You know, it's a necessary evil in an office.
Of course it is.
Mm-hmm. And the payoff is money. You know, good paycheck. Is it worth it? You know, just having this awareness that we're always, well, we're not always, but it sure seems like there's always something there to be found that you're running away from and always something there that you're running towards. I mean, we have so many choices. Living in the Western world, we have in many ways too many choices. You know, we can do anything we want. We can live anywhere we want. Back to Nancy's question, where should we live? And if you notice, like, why am I choosing to live, like, in Salt Lake City? Like, I can start to dissect that by just looking at these two questions. I'm running away from living a bigger life, and I'm running towards continuing to be a small-town girl, you know? Like, every choice we make, we're running from something, we're running towards something. Having some awareness, is it worth it, Jaquetta?
Is the awareness worth it?
No. Is it worth running away from working on yourself, having a personal practice, prioritizing your mental, spiritual, emotional growth? Is it worth running away from being yourself, prioritizing yourself, you know, your personal health, to run towards money, the things that money buy, conformity, 70-hour work weeks, you know, all that that entails, you know, just having the awareness that you're running from something and you're running towards something that can offer you insights and help you make choices because you have awareness around it. With awareness comes choices. No awareness, there's no choices. You follow?
I do.
Okay. Like that's what you're dealing with. This is not just, oh, I need to go to work more so I can make some more money so I can pay off my mortgage faster. No, there's a lot more going on underneath the surface. So for David, who hasn't been speaking, I'm not sure if you're on the call. I don't recognize a few numbers. When I get stressed out, I run towards porn. I run away from intimacy. I run towards porn. It's interesting to know exactly what's going on for you. You know, the intimacy, you know, is the thing that you're running from actually the thing that you should be running towards? Ask yourself these questions. Nancy, how do I know if my decisions are the right ones? Well, you know when you know. And there's a time for love and there's a time for making money, right? There's a time for personal growth work and there's a time for just getting shit done off of your list of things to do. And we get stuck when it's the same thing day after day, year after year. We should be aware of the things that we're running away from and the things that we're running towards at all times so that we can make conscious decisions and we can prioritize things rather than just keep going down the same channel habitually, even though it is only giving us half a pellet. Anybody have anything else they want to add about tonight's subject?
This is Bob. I found myself just going blank on running from and turning to, and I think right now I just feel like I ran a emotional ultra over the weekend, and right now I just want to stop running today and just rest.
Right. So last week you were running towards personal growth and running away from rest, and this week you're running away from personal growth and running towards rest. Did I get that right?
Just for today, maybe tomorrow. I just got to catch my breath. I'm exhausted.
All right. Anybody have anything else that they want to say about tonight's subject and your own personal realizations? So I'll finish by saying awareness is power. Many of you have heard me say this before. It used to be said that knowledge is power, but the person that said that in the late 1400s when we also believed the world was flat. And I really think that knowledge is power is still just being recirculated today. Just like even a five-year-old has heard it, you know, because teachers are trying to get their students to pay attention. In today's very fast-moving world with the internet at our fingertips, calculators, like they're even saying that handwritten, you know, writing words is going to soon be a thing of the past. It's fascinating. So language, I mean, who knows, with spell check, you might not even need to take English in high school anymore. Actually, what is more true in today's evolving world is that awareness is power. Awareness. And so I think just what has naturally occurred in these weekly sessions is like I've left you guys with kind of an awareness practice to journal maybe or just have like a question that you're asking yourself. And awareness always comes from questions, 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 questions. Just asking yourself the question, not necessarily finding the answer though, but chasing the question. And I'm reminded of a Doberman in those races, and they're chasing that damn rabbit around the track, round and around they go. And at first glance, you think, that poor bastard, you know, like what? He's never going to catch that rabbit. But it's actually the effort of chasing the rabbit that makes the greyhound very, very happy and very, very alive. So chasing questions, maybe finding answers, or maybe not finding answers. Like that's what like the greyhound makes us feel alive, and that greyhound will happily go back again and again and chase that rabbit he'll never catch. Like we can learn a lot from greyhounds. Like, let's chase these questions. Let's ask ourselves these questions. Sometimes we get answers, sometimes we don't. But the homework for this week's call is, what are you running away from? And what are you running towards? And like Bob mentioned, changes from day to day. What am I running away from today? What am I running towards? And maybe add the third question, why? And is that the best choice for what I ultimately want out of my life? So with that, I put my hands together. I bow to you. Thank you for engaging in consciousness practice with me today. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Kristen.